जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज वे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर।
नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य वर्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हो। ग्रंथराज श्री भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु की जय। द नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन की जय। श्रील रूप गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय हो। द नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन सेमिनार की जय हो। युग धर्म श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हो। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय हो। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल, हरि हरि बोल, हरि हरि बोल। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। At the very onset of present day's discourse, I would like to submit my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine conjugal lordships Sri Sri Radha Kalachandaji, along with their eternal associates and companions such as Shri Lalita Devi, Sri Vishakha Devi, Sri Ruparati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to offer my most respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships Sri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their perpetual entourage like Sri Larupa Goswami, Sri Lasanatana Goswami and all the six Goswamis of Sri Dham of Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my due respects and obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very artistically, being an adept, propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness, imbued with pure transcendental devotional sentiments and values throughout this world in this present modern era in a most unique and fantastic, unprecedented way. Conclusively, I would also like to pay my obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord present herein, and thereafter, thereby, I would now like to hence commence the context of our discussion, the proposed context of the Nectar of Devotion, and the background, especially the background forming the introduction of the Nectar of Devotion, the background which elaborates and discusses the significance, the importance of Srila Rupa Goswami's way of presenting devotional service apart from other acharyas of the yore who have presented the same teachings but in a little different way. So, as we have been discussing since past one day, Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the author of the Nectar of Devotion, or alias Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also known as the Nectarian, the ocean of the Nectarian mellows of devotional service. So, it is very important to know in profound depth the identity and the significance of the author before understanding the subject matter presented by that respected author. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has presented this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami in a very concise form, in a synopsis, in a gist, in a summary form, and he has called it in his own language the summary studies of the original Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he has named his summary studies as the Nectar of Devotion. But the original book is compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami, who is a very intimate associate and one of the most highest type of associates, most exalted type of associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Gaura Leela, in his Nitya Gaura Leela. So, as it has been said, that the author has to be understood first before trying to understand the subject matter or the treatise written by that, compiled by that author. Because this is the Siddhanta that Lord Krishna has also accepted in the very beginning of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktamanaham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manurakshvaka vebravet. And then he says that bhaktosime sakha cheti rahasyam hiyat duttamam. Lord Krishna says that because, O Arjuna, you are my devotee and because you are my friend also, you are also serving me, you are also having strong relationship with me in the mood of fraternity, sakhyaras, and also you are my bhakti devotee, and for that reason, whatever I say, you will carry out in a blindfold way. So, because you are my devotee, since you accept and implement whatever orders I, or whatever decrees I issue on you, and because you are my very eternal friend, you are my eternal well-wisher and friend in the mood of fraternity, sakhyaras, you are my sakha. For that reason, due to these two reasons, I am imparting this confidential science, these confidential instructions in regards to my pure devotional service unto you. Bhakto asime sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. This most important type of secret, this most exalted type of confidential secret in the form of Bhagavad Gita, I am imparting unto you. I am narrating unto you just because you are my friend and my dear devotee. So, it has been described by the acharyas who have commented on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, especially historically speaking, Sridhar Swami, who has commented on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, Srila Bhakti Vinod Satchidanand Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and finally Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the acharyas, all the significant acharyas who have commented on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, all agree that it is first very important to know the basis of any book. The basis of any book. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a book, is a scripture. And what? Who is the basis of that book? For whom the book is spoken? We cannot say the basis of the book is Shri Krishna just because Bhagavad Gita has been sung by the Lord from his mouth. No. Lord has sung it, but in which context Lord has sung it? In whose context? In the context of Arjuna. If Arjuna would not have been present, the Lord would not have sung the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is considered the actual basis for whom the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. So it is very important to know the basis of any scripture or of any revealed Vedic scripture. So who is the basis of Srila Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? The basis of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. Without knowing the position of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, one will not understand the nectar of devotion. Just like without understanding the submissive position and the devotional position of Arjuna, one will misinterpret rather the Bhagavad Gita and its actual import. The Mayavadis, they interpret Bhagavad Gita but discarding the factor of Arjuna. Discarding. They try to interpret Bhagavad Gita according to Jnana Marg. Or the Karmis, they try to interpret Bhagavad Gita according to Sakam Karma or Nishkam Karma. And the Yogis, they try to interpret Bhagavad Gita according to Ashtanga Yoga. And the politicians, they try to interpret Bhagavad Gita according to the law and ethics of politics, Rajniti Shastra. But Bhagavad Gita has to be interpreted according to the mood of the original first recipient of Bhagavad Gita and for whom the Bhagavad Gita is spoken, thereby who is the basis of Bhagavad Gita, and that is Arjuna. Yes. And that is why it is very important to bring into the context the basis of any revealed Vedic scripture. And the basis of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, the original person to inspire Rupa Goswami, the original cause for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is not even Srila Rupa Goswami. It is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Because Srila Rupa Goswami Pad writes in the very second verse of his Mangalacharanam, of his invocatory prayers, beginning part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he writes, Hridiyasya preranaya pravartitoham varakarupopi vande tasya padakamalam shri chaitanya devasya vande harehe padakamalam shri chaitanya devasya. This is what Srila Rupa Goswami has written in the beginning of Shri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Hridiyasya preranaya pravartito aham varaka rupopi. Although I am complete destitute, I am deen hin akinchan, I am patitadham, I am adham palmer. Adham palmer means I am the most fallen, I am the most destitute, without any type of either material or spiritual support. And actually this is the bhav of all the Vaishnava acharyas, even though they are nitya siddha parikaras, they are eternal associates of the Lord in his eternal pastimes, coming from the internal potency and not from the marginal. Srila Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, that is his ontological position in Krishna Leela. But because Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela, they exist, they coexist simultaneously. Because Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela, they coexist simultaneously. And Krishna Leela is as eternal as Gaur Leela, Gaur Leela is as eternal as Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela, just like Krishna Leela, is without any beginning. It is always present, it is always existing, but it has no beginning. It is always there from time without beginning. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Leela, Gaur Leela, is also present from time without beginning. Why? Because Sri Krishna and Sri Gaurachandra, they exist from time without beginning. Since time without beginning, that is why Leela also exists since time without beginning. Because Leela or pastimes cannot be enacted, cannot be performed without the performer of the pastimes. Any activity, even in this mundane world, any activity, any action cannot be performed without the executioner. The person who executes that action, the doer, without the doer, without the karta, kriya or karma cannot be done. Right? So, Sri Chaitanya Dev and Sri Krishna Chandra, they are the cause of the Leela. And because they are eternal, because since they exist since the time without beginning. And from where? From which part of the Shastra this point is substantiated? Oh yes, from the very first verse of Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, this point is substantiated. It is said in the 5th verse, in the 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita, in the very first verse, Ishwarah Paramah Krishnah Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govindah Sarvakarana Karanam Ishwarah Paramah Krishnah. There may be many devatas, many demigods like Indra, Surya, Chandra, Varun, Yamraj, Pavan, Agni, etc. But they are all demigods who are rather the controllers of the common living beings found in other species of this mundane world. That is why Shri Krishna Bhagwan also says in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, highlighting the significance of yagya or sacrifice, before the verse yagya shishtashinah santo machyante sarvakilibishai hai bunjate te twagam papaye pachanti atmakaranat, what does the Lord say? And before the verses of yagya arthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah, what does the Lord say? Lord says that in the very beginning of this creation, Prajapati Brahma, he has given the power to all the other demigods like Indra, Varun, etc., the power to give boons and benedictions to the living entities, especially the human beings. So the living entities, they shall perform sacrifices, yagya, to please the devatas like Indra, Varun, Chandra, etc. And the Indra, Varun, Chandra, etc., after being pleased by those sacrifices, will again try to please the living entities who have performed those sacrifices. So it's mutual reciprocation. Te deva bhavayantu vah parasparam bhavayantah shreya paramavapsyatha. That is the shloka of Bhagavad Gita. You shall mutually, the living entities or the human beings and the demigods, they will mutually try to reciprocate each other. So demigods are considered controllers in one sense of the common living entities of this material world. But the controller of those demigods are Shiva and Brahma. But even the controller of Shiva and Brahma is Narayan. But the original reservoir or the fountain or the summum bonum of even Narayan is the Shri Krishna of Vrindavan, Golok Nath Shri Krishna. And here, Ishwarah Paramah means not controller in an ordinary sense, not controller, not Ishwara, not Bhagavan in a relative sense, in an ordinary sense, but we are talking about that Ishwara, we are talking about that Bhagavan, we are talking about that controller who is absolute, who is ultimate Ishwara and ultimate Bhagavan. And that is why Padma Puran, Lord Shiva also says and corroborates this fact. What does he say? Lord Shiva says that Hari Reva Sadaratyah Sarvadeveshwareshwarah Itare Brahma Rudradya Navagyeya Kadachana Hari Reva Sadaratyah. Eva means certainly and only. Only Shri Hari without any doubt. That means certainly. Certainly without any doubt, only Shri Hari is Param Aratya, is the ultimate object of worship. There may be many inferior objects of worship, but Hari is the ultimate object of worship, Param Aradhya. Not Samanya Aradhya, not regular object of worship, ultimate object of worship. Hari Reva Sada Aradhya, and he is to be worshipped at all times in all places. Sada Sarvatra, Sada Sarvada and Sarvatra. Hari Reva Sada Aradhya, Sarvadeveshwareshwarah. Hari, what kind of Ishwar he is? Lord Shiva is telling in Padma Puran and Vyasadeva is writing. What kind of Ishwar, what kind of controller is Lord Hari? He is one of those very inferior types of controllers, adhikrita devatas, like Indra, Varun, Chandra, etc. As mentioned in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, te deva bhavayantu vah parasparam bhavayantah. Are we talking about this? Is Shri Krishna like those controllers, like those demigods? No. Because these are considered devatas. Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, etc., Yamraj, etc., they are considered devatas or demigods. And the controller of all these 330 million demigods are Shiva and Brahma, who are even higher than Indra. Indra is considered the controller of all the other demigods, but Shiva and Brahma are controller of even Indra. So, Sarva Dev means of all demigods, of all the 330 million. And Sarva Deva Ishwara means the controller of all the 330 million demigods, beginning with Indra. And they are Shiva and Brahma. So Sarva Deva Ishwara means Shiva and Brahma. And Sarva Deveshwar Ishwara. Sarva Deveshwareshwaraha. Sarva Deva Ishwara Ishwaraha. Even the controller of Shiva and Brahma is known as Sarva Deva Ishvara Ishvaraha. And that is Narayana. But even the fountain source of Narayana is Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna of Vrindavan. And that is why he is known as Ishvaraha Paramaha, the ultimate controller. Ete Changshkalaha Punsaha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Vridenti Yuge Yuge. He is the Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original source for all the other Vishnu Tattva expansions and incarnations. So, as it has been corroborated in Padma Puran, Lord Hari or Lord Krishna of Vrindavan, Goloknath Shri Krishna, he is to be considered the ultimate absolute truth, ultimate form of absolute truth existing in all the three types of worlds, marginal world, spiritual world and material world, in the whole creation. So Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha, Satchidananda Vigraha, his body is rather made up of eternal cognition, chit, eternal bliss or felicity, ananda, and eternal existence, sat, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govindaha, and that Govinda of Vrindavan, who is the cause of all the other causes, but who has no other cause, Anadihi Adihi Govindaha. Sarvakarana karanam. So that means anadihi means who has no other cause. He may be the cause of even Rama, Varaha, Matsya, Narasingha, Kurma, etc. All the other incarnations and all the other living entities and all the whole material world. He may be the cause of all that. But he himself has no other cause. So anadir adir govindaha sarvakarana karanam. And because Shri Krishna is of such a nature that he has no other cause besides his own self. And because Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an expansion, is not an incarnation of Lord Krishna, but he is rather Swayam Roop Shri Krishna of Vrindavan himself. And that is why both Shri Krishna and Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they exist from time without beginning. And because they exist from time without beginning, the Leela or the pastimes, whose doers, whose performers are they themselves, those leelas and pastimes also exist eternally from time without beginning. And that is why Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, who is present as Rupa Manjari in Shri Krishna's Nitya Leela, in the eternal pastimes of Shri Krishna, is simultaneously present as Srila Rupa Goswami in Nitya Gaur Leela, in the eternal pastimes of Shri Chaitanya Chandra or Gaur Sundar, the hero of our hearts. So, simultaneously both the pastimes are occurring, are going on. Chaitanya Leela is going on in the material world in Bhaumandavadweep. And Krishna Leela is going on in the material world in Bhauma Vrindavan, Bhauma Vraj. And likewise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are also going on in the eternal, in the Shweta Dweepa of the spiritual world, which is none other than the Navadvipa of this mundane realm. And likewise, Shri Krishna's eternal pastimes are also going on in Golok Vrindavan of the spiritual world. And both of these, means Golok Vrindavan and Shweta Dvipa, are higher, are superior, are located superior to even Vaikuntha planets. That is why Brahmaji will say in his prayers, in Brahma Sanghita, later portion of Brahma Sanghita, he will say that Goloka dhamni nija dhamni tale chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridham suteshu teshu Tete prabhava nichaya vihitaschayena Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That Golok Vrindavan is superior, is located in most superior or topmost place or region of the spiritual world. And below Golok Vrindavan are located Saket of Lord Ramachandra, which is transcendental Ayodhya. And after that is located the Vaikuntha planets of all the different incarnations like Varaha, Matsya, Narasingha, Kurma, etc. And also Lord Narayana's Mahavaikuntha is located. After that is located the Sadashiva Lok of Lord Sadashiv. After that comes the Brahman Jyoti, the Brahman effulgence, impersonal Brahman effulgence. Then comes Virja, or the Karan Samudra, causal ocean, marginal world. Then comes the material world, Devi Dham, administered by the goddess Durga, the external potency of the Lord, who is in charge of the, who is superintendent of the prison house. So, because this is the geographical position, So, next to Golok Vrindavan, adjacent, parallel to Golok Vrindavan, is located Shvetadvipa. And this description is also found in Brahma Sanhita in the very beginning of the 5th chapter, that Shvetadvipa is located just next to Golok Vrindavan, not underneath Golok Vrindavan, not below Golok Vrindavan, but next to Golok Vrindavan. That proves that Chaitanya Chandra is not an incarnation or an expansion of Swayam Roop Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna, but rather he is Swayam Roop Swayam Bhagavan Krishna himself, unlike Ram, Narsingvara, Matsya and Kurma.
Yes.
Otherwise, if he would be an expansion or incarnation, his position would be lower, like in the case of Vaikunth and Saket or Ayodhya, etc. So Krishna Lok is again divided threefold. Krishna Lok is again divided threefold. Dwarka, Mathura, and Golok Vrindavan. The Krishna Lok of the spiritual world is divided threefold. And these three chambers are located side by side. Dwarka, Mathura, and Golok Vrindavan. But actually, the chamber of Dwarka within Krishna Lok, the chamber of Dwarka is located in the most inferior position. Above that chamber is located the chamber of Mathura. And above that chamber is located the chamber of Golok Vrindavan. And next to the chamber of Golok Vrindavan is located Shvetadvip, which is Navadvip. So, Saket, when it manifests on the mundane realm, is known as Ayodhya. Dwarka, manifesting on the mundane realm, is known as Dwarkapuri. Mathura or Madhupuri, manifest on the mundane realm, is named by the same name, Mathura. Golok Vrindavan, however, which is manifest on the mundane realm, is not known as Golok Vrindavan here, is known as either Bhauma Vrindavan or Vraj. And Vaikuntha never gets manifest on the earth planet, but nevertheless that also gets expanded and manifest in the material universe. Next to Lord Indra's heavenly planet, celestial paradise, known as Amravati Puri, is located Kshir Sagar, the milk ocean, and within the Kshir Sagar, Kshirodakshai Vishnu resides. That Kshirodakshai Vishnu, where he resides, that place is known as Rama Vaikuntha. That Rama Vaikuntha is a replica, is an exact replica of the original Maha Vaikuntha, which is found in the spiritual world. But Rama Vaikuntha is found within this material universe where Kshirodakshai Vishnu rests. So even Vaikuntha gets manifest here. So now Vaikuntha of the spiritual world, which is known as Maha Vaikuntha, where Maha Narayan resides. And Maha Narayan is encircled by four quadruple expansions, Chaturvyuha, known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Namo Bhagavate Tobhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Aniruddhaya Namaha Sankarshanaya Cha. This verse sung by Narad Muni in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto of Bhagavatam while talking to Vyasadeva. So, these four quadruple expansions, they are four-handed Vishnu forms and each have Shankh, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Each form has conch, mace, disc and lotus flower, but in a different consecutive order, not in the same order. So, these four quadruple expansions are known as second quadruple expansions, Dvitiya Chaturvyuha. And the second quadruple expansions stays in Vaikuntha. And these four quadruple expansions, they encircle Mahanarayan of Vaikuntha. Mahanarayan is in the centralmost region of Vaikuntha. And on the four corners of Mahanarayan are situated these four types of quadruple expansions and their planets. So Mahanarayan of Vaikuntha. Now the second quadruple expansion emanates from the first quadruple expansion of Dwarka. And the first quadruple expansion of Dwarka is also constituted of the same Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. But here, the four quadruple expansions in Dwarka, the original quadruple expansion, the primary, the first quadruple expansion known as Adi Chaturvyuha or Pratham Chaturvyuha of Dwarka, they do not have four hands, they have two hands rather. So, Shri Krishna of Dwarka, who is Dwarkadhish, who is the son of Vasudev and Devaki, is known as Vasudev of the first quadruple expansion. Shri Balram of Dwarka, who is the husband of Revati, is known as the Sankarshan of the first quadruple expansion. And Pradyumna gets manifest as the son of Rukmini and Dwarkadhish Krishna, and Aniruddha gets manifest as the son of Pradyumna. This is how the first quadruple expansion is located in Dwarka. And both are, all of them are two-handed. Dvibhuj Roop, not Chaturbhuj Roop. And this first quadruple expansion of Dwarka gets manifest from the Shri Krishna of Mathura and Shri Balram of Mathura. And Shri Krishna and Balram of Mathura in turn get manifest from Shri Krishna of Vrindavan and Balram of Vrindavan. So the most original type of form of Shri Krishna is the form which is found in Vrindavan. The reason is, the reason being that Vaikuntha is 100% Aishwarya without any tinge of Madhurya. Ayodhya is 75% Aishwarya with 25% Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness and Aishwarya means opulence, awe and majesty. Then Ayodhya is known as Saket in the spiritual world. Saket means 75% Aishwarya, 25% Madhurya. Then comes, on top of Ayodhya, comes Krishna Lok. And Krishna Lok is again divided threefold, Dwarka, Mathura and Golok Vrindavan. So Dwarka is 50% Aishwarya, 50% Madhurya combined. Mathura, 75% Madhurya along with 25% Aishwarya. And Vraj Bhumi Vrindavan has 100% Aishwarya, 100% Madhurya, but Madhurya is dominating Aishwarya in such a way that Aishwarya is not being manifest, although it exists in Golok Vrindavan. 100% Madhurya, 100% Aishwarya, both in equal amount. No question of gang boosting here. That, oh, they are more in number, so they have subdued me. The opulence cannot complain like this, because it is in the same amount as the Madhurya, but still Madhurya subdues Aishwarya. What does it mean? Sweetness subdues opulence. What does it mean? It means that Ramanujacharya's conception, Madhvacharya's conception, Vishnu Swami's conception, and the conception of all the Acharyas except for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, in considering that Aishwarya is the criteria of considering, analytically considering which form of Godhead is higher and which is inferior, proves to be wrong. And because the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya Acharyas, beginning with Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, following the footsteps of Mahaprabhu, have rather established and accepted another criterion for deciding, for segregating what forms of Godhead, which forms of Godhead are higher and which are superior. So the criteria of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya in segregating between the Vishnu Tattvas is that if a particular form of Lord Krishna or Narayana has sweetness in more amount, then that form is higher. And if it has opulence in more amount, then that form is inferior. Because sweetness and opulence coexisting in same amount, there what happens? Sweetness subdues opulence. So sweetness is considered to be exalted than opulence. And because Lord Narayana of Mahavaikuntha has only 100% opulence without 0% Madhurya, that is why he is to be considered the most inferior form of Godhood. But this proposition is contradicted by Ramanuja and Madhvaites, and especially the South Indian Acharyas. They consider, no, Narayana is the greatest and Shri Krishna is rather just a small fragmental expansion of Narayana. He is not Swayam Bhagavan. Why? Because Shri Krishna is like a human-like form. He does not even consider himself to be Supreme Personality of Godhead when he's in Vrindavan. He's completely acting like a human being. Whereas Narayana, look, Narayana is not an ordinary cowherd boy. Look, Narayana will not drink the buttermilk emanating from the mouth of an ordinary Brahmana boy known as Madhumangal Sakha. Look, Narayana will not do mischief with the wives of others like Krishna has done. And look, Narayana is at all not a human. He exists and he exposes himself fully in the mood of majesty and opulence. And in Vaikuntha, no one can challenge Narayana. No one can reciprocate with him as a friend. No one can reciprocate with him as a lover. No one can reciprocate with him as mother or father. Everyone reciprocate with him as his servant. So look what opulence Narayana has in contrast to Shri Krishna. And Shri Krishna just has two hands. Narayana has four. Narayana has all these weapons. And that is why Narayana is considered to be the greatest. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have slammed this idea. And they have said, Madhurya Bhagavatasar, not Aishwarya Bhagavatasar. They say the sweetness is the essence of Godhood, not the opulence. Because the sweetness and opulence coexisting, their sweetness subdues opulence. But it is never found that opulence existing with sweetness in the same amount, then opulence will ever subdue Madhurya. That is never possible. It is never found in any part of the spiritual world, in any pastimes of any form of Godhood. And that is why the criterion for deciding which form of Godhead is higher and which is inferior is the criterion of Madhurya and not the criterion of Aishwarya. Completely slammed the idea of the previous Acharyas of the Vidhimarg, because they are the Acharyas of Vidhimarg, Vaidhi Bhakti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propounded the Raganung Bhakti and the Ragatmika type of devotion. That devotion which takes one and makes one enter Golok Vrindavan, eternal pastimes of Shri Krishna of Braj. By Vidhi Bhakti, by Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti, one can never enter into the eternal pastimes of Shri Krishna in Vrindavan. This is what Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stated after long analysis in the fourth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamritam. He says that Aishwarya Shithila Prema Nahi Mora Preet Vidhi Bhaktiye Vraj Bhav Paite Nahi Shakti. By Vidhi, by Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti, one can never attain the Vraj Bhav or the mood of the Vrajvasis like Shri Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, Rup Ratimanjari, Shridam, Subal, Madhumangal, Nand, Yashoda, Raktak, Patrak, Chitrak, these Vrajvasis, one can never attain their mood by Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti, and so one can never attain Golok Vrindavan. And Aishwarya Shithil Prema Nahi Mor Preet. The Vidhi Bhakti means that love which is slackened by the current of Aishwarya found within it. Love is always slackened, is always diluted. Love is always present, love for Krishna, Krishna Prem, is always present in its condensed form when it is completely devoid of Aishwarya Gyan, mood of majesty, awe and reverence. But love becomes diluted and slackened when it is mixed with the mood of awe and reverence and majesty, Aishwarya Gyan. And that is why Vidhi Bhakti means that love which is slackened by Aishwarya Gyan. So that love which is slackened by Aishwarya Gyan, which is diluted by it, has no power ever in all the circumstances, in all times and places, has no power to attract Lord Krishna. The love which is full of Madhurya and devoid of Aishwarya Gyan has absolute power of capturing and controlling Shri Krishna of Vrindavan. But the love which is slackened by Aishwarya has no power of capturing Shri Krishna of Vrindavan. Aishwarya Shithil Prema Nahi Mor Preet. Shri Krishna himself is telling in Chaitanya Charitamritam that love which is slackened by Aishwarya Gyan can never satisfy me so much as the love which is devoid of Aishwarya Gyan and full of only Madhurya. This is the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamritam. So where stays the so-called acceptance of Narayan as the Swayam Bhagavan, as the Avatari, as the Anshi, as the original Samampanam of all the other forms like Shri Krishna, etc.? No, Shri Krishna is not an expansion of Narayan. Rather, Narayan is an expansion of Shri Krishna. And this is proved by Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is praying to Shri Krishna in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the verse beginning with Narayanam Tvam Nahi Sarvadehinam Atmasya Dhishakhila Loka Sakshi Narayano Anganarabhu Jalayanat Tachapi Satyam Natavaiva Maya. Brahma is telling to Krishna, O Krishna, this Narayan who is my father, this Garbhodakshai Vishnu who is my father, he is none other than your son, O Krishna. Completely clear in Bhagavatam, Ete Chansh Kalaha Punsaha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. All other forms may be the expansion of Mahavishnu, Karanodakshai Vishnu, but O Krishna, you are Swayam Bhagavan, you are even the origin of Karanodakshai Mahavishnu and Narayan. So no room remains for considering Shri Krishna and the form of Shri Krishna of Vrindavan to be inferior than Narayana. Aishwarya Bhagavatasar, no Madhurya Bhagavatasar. Madhurya Bhagavatasar, the essence of Godhood is sweetness, not Aishwarya. This is Chaitanya Charitamritam speaking right here. So that is why Rupa Goswami Pada says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Siddhanta Tastvabhedepi Shrisha Krishna Svarupayaho Rasenot Krishyate Rupam Krishna Mesha Rasasthitihi. Although he is the same person, it's not that different forms of Godhood are different persons. No. One same absolute truth, one same supreme personality of Godhead, one same person appears in different forms. And those forms are known as Svansha, Vishnu Tattvas. So Shri Krishna, the one original primeval form of Godhead, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, he manifests, he expands as different forms. Ramadi Murti Shukalan Yamena Tishthan Nana Avatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramahapumanyo Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Brahma Sahita. Brahma is also corroborating the same fact, slamming the Ramanujas and Madhvites here and boosting the fundamentals of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya in contrast with all the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. Yes. Ramadi Murtishu. Shri Krishna is the original person who becomes manifests as expanded form of Ram, Narayan, etc. And Deeparchire Vahida Shantaram Abhyupetya Deepayate Vivrita Hetu Samana Dharma Yasta Drigeva Hicha Vishnutaya Vibhati Golo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami is the original candle lighting all the other candles. Yes, this is the difference between expansion, incarnations and Shri Krishna. And that is why this Shri Krishna Chandra, although he is the same person, Narayana. Narayana and Shri Krishna are the same person, and although they have the same power, but still Shri Krishna is superior to Narayana just because Shri Krishna, in his personality, the sweetness, the amount of sweetness and the amount of the manifestation or the development of rasa, transcendental mellow, is more than the amount which is found in Narayana's personality. Rasenot krishyate rupam krishna mesha rasasthitihi. The amount of rasa. Rasa means transcendental mellows. The transcendental mellows are found in their ultimate form, in their climax, in their totality within Shri Krishna of Vrindavan, his personality. But within the personality of Narayan, these rasas are found just in the beginning stage. In Vaikuntha, there is no Shringar, there is no conjugal. There is no vatsalya, mood of paternal affection, maternal affection. There is no mood of guardianship, vatsalya. There is no mood of fraternity, sakhyaras, friendship. There are only moods of shanta and dasya, passive state of devotion and active state of devotion, servitude, dasya. Yes. So, two among the five, that means minority. Two rasas among the five rasas are found, that means minority is proven automatically. Whereas in Golok Vrindavan, all the five are there. The Dasya is there in Golok Vrindavan, but not in the mood of awe and reverence and majesty. Raktak, Patrak, Chitrak are the servants of Shri Krishna in Dasya, in Vrindavan Leela. But they do not have the same mood as the servants in Vaikuntha. The servants of Vaikuntha think, oh, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the origin of me. I am the marginal potency. And he is the potent principle personified. He is the controller of me because I am his potency. He is the origin of myself. And he is my father, he is my mother. Aham bija pradap pitaha. Mata dhata pitamaha. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He is the seed-giving father of us. Oh, unto him even Brahma and Shiv, they bow down. Who are we then? And although the servants of Vaikuntha, they want to serve Narayana, but they feel very hesitant. They think, oh, we want to serve Narayana, but if Narayana will not accept our service, then at this particular time, in this particular place, in this particular way, if Lord Narayana will not accept our service, then what will happen? Oh, so even though they want to serve, they are feeling very hesitant just due to this Aishwarya Gyan. And that is why the love there, the love found within Vaikuntha, the affection and love for Lord Narayana found within the associates of Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha is full of hesitation, full of fear, and full of not intimacy but full of formality, which causes the intimacy to be broken. And that is why the love cannot be called strengthened in Vaikuntha. It is only considered strengthened in Vrindavan. Love becomes decreased whenever formality enters, whenever the mood of awe and reverence and majesty enters, wherever the mood of opulence, Aishwarya, Gyan enters, wherever the mood that I am nothing in front of this Lord enters, love becomes slackened. That's it. No other argument, Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas say. No other argument. And one can say, oh, maybe Lord desires to enjoy in that way. He desires to relish the mood of Aishwarya found within the heart of his devotee. No. He does not really relish, because Krishna himself has made a statement. He has himself proclaimed in Chaitanya Charitamritam, Adi Leela, 4th chapter, that Aishwarya Shithil Prem Nahi Mor Preet. I do not find much satisfaction in that love which is slackened by opulence, mood, and awe and reverence. No. It cannot please Shri Krishna so much. So, just like a king has two types of relationships, private and public. So, public relationship is the formal relationship the king shares with all the citizens, with all the denizens, with all the populace, which is found residing and inhabiting within his kingdom. But the king, he shares a different type of relationship, different type of sambandh, different type of relationship with his private counterparts, associates, and especially his family members and relatives, like his queen, like his son, like his mother, father, etc. So the king's relationship with his wife is completely private. There the wife does not become hesitant and fold her hands, and she does not tremble in front of this king and think that, oh, he's the king and I'm just his subject. Because after all, wife is also subject. The king is only one in the kingdom. There cannot be two kings. So after all, anyone besides the king is his subject. But still, even though queen is the subject, she never considers herself to be like the other subjects of the kingdom. No, she is fully intimate. So, as well as the son of the king, the daughter of the king, they are also intimate. The other relatives, the kith and kin, the brothers, sisters, the parents, they are also very intimate with the king. They do not even respect him as a king. Son does not respect, wife does not respect, brother, sister, and other relatives like mother, father did not respect this king. But the king's finds more pleasure dealing with his citizens and accepting their glories and their folded hands and their respect. Or he finds more pleasure within his close relatives and family members. He finds certainly more pleasure in informality, not informality. That is the nature of not only human being, but of all the people. Even God has this nature. Why this nature comes in human being? Because originally it is found in God. Whatever it is which is found in the material world is just perverted reflection of whatever which is found in the spiritual world. That is our Siddhanta. And that is why in the material world, formality can never make a person completely satisfied. Only informal intimate relationship can make it satisfied. And that is why, because this thing is in the material world and it has its root in the spiritual world, that is why even Narayana or Godhead finds himself less satisfied in Aishwarya Bhakti, Aishwarya Mai Bhakti, and finds himself completely satisfied in Madhurya Mai Bhakti, the mood of Raganuga and Ragatmika associates. That will fully satisfy Krishna. And that is why, what is our purpose being his devotees? Our purpose is to fully satisfy him. If by performing the so-called Aishwarya Mai Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti, which leads to Vaikunthanath Narayan, if that will not fully satisfy him, And if the Raganuk Sadhan Bhakti will fully satisfy him, then why not choose Raganuk Sadhan Bhakti instead? This is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya Acharyas. This is the mood of Mahaprabhu. This is why he has come. This is why Rupa Goswami has come. Otherwise, Bhakti was already there, propounded by Ramanuja and Madhva. What is the speciality of Mahaprabhu and his followers? Anarpita charim chirat karuna yavati rinahakalau samarpayitu munnato jvala rasam sva bhakti shriyam harihi purata sundara dhyutikadam vasandipitaha sadahridaya kandare spuratu vahashachi nandanaha. What is the speciality? He has come to give here unnat ujjwal ras. Generally, he has come here to give all types of raganug bhakti. Raganug bhakti of dasya, sakhya, vatsalya, shringar. But especially he has come to give the raganug bhakti of shringar. And even within the Raganuk type of devotion of Shringar or conjugal mood, he has come to especially give to the living entities the highest mood which is found in the maid servants of Srimati Radhika, Manjari Bhav. That is known as Unnat Ujjwal Ras here. Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunayavati Rinahakalau Samarpayitum Unnato Ujjwal Rasam Svabhakti Shriyam. So, This is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incarnated. And so, Srila Rupa Goswami, now what is the difference between the devotional service propounded by Rupa Goswami and all the other previous acharyas like Vyasadev, Nath Muni, Yamunacharya, Kulshekhar Alwar, Ramanandacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Elias Nimbadityacharya, Vishnuswami, and Vallabhacharya, who is the successor of Vishnuswami, and all these other acharyas. What is the difference between them and Srila Rupa Goswami? Now, some of these acharyas may have advocated, like Nimbarkacharya and Vallabhacharya, they may have invocated Raganuga Bhakti to some extent, but still there remains much more difference in their concept and the concept of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their followers. Because Nimbarkacharya also accepts Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan. And so does Vallabhacharya of the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. He also accepts Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan. But, and Vallabhacharya and Nimbark also accept the Raganuga Bhakti on top of the Vaidhi Bhakti. But, there are still some differences. So especially Ramanuj Madhva, they are the staunch followers of Vaidhi Marg. And they are the people who consider that Narayan is the Swayam Bhagavan and Krishna is mere expansion of Narayan. And that is why, because they don't know that Madhurya becomes Aishwarya becomes subdued by Madhurya. Now they have no argument left. When we say that Madhurya subdues Aishwarya, they have no argument left now. So Siddhantatasva Bhedepi Shrisha Krishna Swarupayoho Rasenot Krishyate Rupam Krishna Mesha Rasastitihi. The four types of sweetnesses, Madhuris, which are found in Vraj Leela, are not found within any other pastimes or any other form.
Chaturdha Madhuri Stasya Vraja Eva Virajate.
Chaturdha Madhuri Stasya Vraja Eva Virajate. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad says in Ujjwal Nilmani that there are four types of sweetnesses, and he says in Laghu Bhagavatamritam that there are four types of sweetnesses found in Vraj Leela and found within the personality of Vrajendra Nandan Shyam Sundar, who is the basis of Vraj Leela. Who is the basis of Vraj Leela? Karta, performer, is the basis of Kriya, action. So because these four types of sweetnesses are found within Shyam Sundar of Vrindavan, they are also found within the pastimes enacted by him. What are these four types of sweetnesses? Again, Rupa Goswami mentions them in a quite detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Four types of sweetnesses are Venu Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, and Prem Madhuri, also known as Bhakta Madhuri sometimes. Prem Madhuri or Bhakta Madhuri. The types of devotees, the types of Raganuga and Ragatmika devotees, actually Raganuga and Ragatmika devotees are never present even in Dwarka and Mathura and Vaikuntha and Ayodhya. They are only present in Vraj Leela and the Vrindavan pastimes. Because Raganuga Bhakti and Ragatmika Bhakti, these two types of bhaktis are not found anywhere else except Vrindavan. What to speak of Vaikuntha, they are not even found in Mathura, Ayodhya and Dwarka. They are not found. So, Shri Krishna of Vrindavan has a special type of associates. Different from the associates that Narayan of Vaikuntha has, Narsinghvara Matsya Kurma of Vaikuntha have, or Ram of Ayodhya has, or the Dwarkadish Krishna or Mathuradish Krishna have. The associates of Vrindavan Krishna are completely different because they are Ragatmik and Raganuga type of associates. That is Bhakta Madhuri. That is Prem Madhuri. Because the associates are of a different type, so their love is also of different type. The love of the associates of Vaikuntha is 100% Aishwarya. The love of the associates of Ayodhya is 75% Aishwarya, 25% Madhurya. Likewise, the love of Dwarka associates is 50-50. The love of Mathura associates is 25% Aishwarya and 75% Madhurya. The love of the associates of Vrindavan is 100% Madhurya, devoid of Aishwarya Gyan. Although Aishwarya is present, Aishwarya Gyan is not present. Now what is the difference? Vishwanath says there is a difference between Aishwarya and Aishwarya Gyan. Aishwarya means opulence. Opulence is present within Vrindavan and the Vrindavan pastimes. Many times, Lord Krishna sucks the breast of Putana and sucks all the life air out. Is that not Aishwarya? Can a mere lad of the 4 or 5 days do that? No, a mere lad of 4 or 5 days cannot do that. But that is certainly Aishwarya. And by many different ways, by kicking the bullock cart, he makes the Shaktasur die. And by putting his hand in the mouth of this Keshi demon, he makes him die. And there are likewise many incidences, like the Trinavarta Leela and the Leela of Brahmanda, the universe, the exposition of universe within his mouth. Are these not examples of Aishwarya found within Krishna Leela? These are examples of Aishwarya found within Leela that proves that Aishwarya is present 100% in Krishna Leela. But even though Aishwarya is present, Aishwarya cannot give rise to Aishwarya Gyan either within the personality of Shri Krishna or within the personality of his associates. Even though Krishna shows Aishwarya many times, Krishna himself never thinks that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always thinks, I am rather Gop Kumar. I am rather son of the king of all the other Gopas, who is Nanda Maharaj. I am his son. I am just a human being. I am just a cowherd man, cowherd boy. He never thinks himself to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Aishwarya does not influence Shri Krishna. Aishwarya cannot give rise to Aishwarya Gyan. Opulence cannot give rise to the mood of opulence within the personality of Shri Krishna. That is proven. And Aishwarya cannot give rise to Aishwarya Gyan even within the personality of his associates of Vrindavan. Even though Aishwarya is present, it cannot give rise to Aishwarya Gyan. That is the supremacy. That is the victory. That is the glory of Madhurya. It makes Aishwarya potent and important simultaneously. Aishwarya is potent because it is exposed, but it is important because it fails to create the mood of opulence within the mind of Krishna and his associates. No matter how much Krishna will show his opulence in front of the cowherd boys, in the Kaliya pastimes, Kaliya Nag pastimes, he showed his Aishwarya. In all the pastimes, he is practically killing all these demons in Vrindavan, one by one. The more demons he is killing, then he will kill in Dwarka and Mathura. But still, the associates never take him to be anything more than a common human being, than a cowherd boy, exactly on the same level as they are. Not even the gopis consider him anything more. Not even the gopas or the cowherd boys consider him anything more. Not the parents consider him. Parents do not consider him to be anything. They rather order Krishna that please bring our shoes. And Krishna carries those shoes on his head and brings those shoes in front of Maharaj Nanda. So Aishwarya cannot affect them, but the Aishwarya affects the associates of Mathura and Dwarka. How? And it is certainly the only predominant thing existing in Vaikuntha. No question of giving an example of how Aishwarya exists in Vaikuntha, because Aishwarya only has Aishwarya. Vaikuntha only has Aishwarya and Aishwarya Gyan, nothing else. So in Mathura and Dwarka, how does Aishwarya exist? In Mathura, Aishwarya exists. How? In which way? Because as soon as Lord Krishna has taken birth, has made his advent in Mathura, in the prison house, in the Ashtami Tithi of the Bhadrapada month, in the dark fortnight, eighth lunar day of the dark fortnight, waning moon night, waning fortnight of the Bhadrapada month, Bhadrapada Mas Ashtami Tithi, and in the midnight of that day, when Lord Krishna has made his divine descent, at that time, Vasudeva and Devaki, they have prayed to Lord Krishna, that, O Lord Narayan, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even though Lord Narayana disappeared after hearing their prayers and became again visible as a small child, still Devaki and Vasudeva considered the small child to be Narayan. This is Aishwarya Gyan. They are completely influenced. And in Dwarka, once upon a time, if you will read the 10th canto, once upon a time Narada comes and he tells Vasudeva and Devaki, Oh Vasudeva, oh Devaki, you are certainly an illusion. No. Do not consider this Krishna to be your child. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana. And then immediately the minds and the way of thinking of Vasudeva and Devaki, they changed forever. And from that day on, they started thinking Shri Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna, what happens in Dwarka? Dwarka Leela. Arjuna is part of Dwarka Leela. Hastinapur Leela is part of Dwarka Leela. So Arjuna and the Pandavas, Arjuna has normally the mood of fraternity. But that also gets subdued by Aishwarya. Param Brahma Param Dham Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devamajam Vibhum Ahostvam Rishayah Sarve Devarshir Naradastatha Asito Devalo Vyasah Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. What is this? And please, Bhakto, he says that, I have mistreated you, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. I have mistreated you, O Krishna, by telling you sometimes, O Yadav, O friend, O Sakha, like this. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. But this was due to my mistake. You see, the whole real relationship is being subdued by the opulence, the mood of opulence here, even in the Dwarka Leela. Then what to speak of Ayodhya and Vaikuntha, which are inferior to this. And that is why, no matter how many times Krishna will show Brahmanda to Yashoda, no matter how many times Krishna will show his opulence to his cowherd friends and gopis, they will not consider him to be anything more than they are. This proves that Madhurya subdues Aishwarya in Vrindavan. So, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, what are his two contributions to the devotees of the Lord, to the world of the devotees, to the Bhakta Jagat? Bhakta Jagat means to the world of the devotees of Lord Krishna. What is the contribution of Rupa Goswami? The contribution of Rupa Goswami is
Bhaktihi Purvai Hai Shrita Tam Tu Rasam Pashyed Yadatadhi Tam Naumi Satatam Rupam Nama Priya Janam Hare.
This is what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described in the very beginning of his book known as Madhurya Kadambini. So now let us first discuss the four types of sweetnesses. Bhakta Madhuri, Prem Madhuri is the same thing. Because the Bhaktas are Ragatmik and Raganug, that is why their love is of special type, Prem Madhuri, which is not found in any other place. That is a speciality of Vrindavan. Second speciality is Leela Madhuri. Because the Bhaktas are of special type and because their Prema is of special type, so those Leelas, those pastimes, which are done keeping in mind the satisfaction of the Bhaktas of Vrindavan, are also of special type. Leela will imbibe, the pastime will imbibe, will contain, will have whatever. Actually, the pastimes or actions are just physical expressions of the internal mood. So the internal mood of Krishna is that Krishna is also fully devoid of Aishwarya Gyan. And the internal mood of his Ragatmika and Raganuga associates is that they are also fully devoid of Aishwarya Gyan. So whatever internal mood is, the external pastimes or Bahya Leela are just gross expressions of those subtle moods. So because the mood of Vrindavan is completely different from the mood of Dwarka, Mathura, Ayodhya and Vaikuntha, that is why the external expression of those internal sentiments and moods also follows the internal mood. So if the internal mood is the highest, those pastimes which are based on those internal moods, they are also highest. Because whatever is in the mind comes out through action. Whatever is in the mind of Krishna and his associates comes out as Leela or pastimes. So pastimes of Vrindavan are also special. Because of the speciality of devotees and their love, because of the unprecedented nature of the devotees of Vrindavan and their love for Krishna, the nature of the pastimes of Vrindavan is also unprecedented, not found anywhere else. So Leela Madhuri. Then comes Rupa Madhuri. The form of Shri Krishna in Vrindavan is the most enchanting and most attractive form. Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who serves as Kasturi Manjari, as maidservant of Srimati Radhika, supplying camphor to Srimati Radhika. That's her service. Kasturi. No, Kasturi means Mrigamada. Kasturi means musk. She is supplying musk. She's actually anointing. Her service is to anoint musk or kasturi, deer musk, on the body of Srimati Radharani. That is her service. So she is Kasturi Manjari, incarnated as Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Gaur Leela. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Kasturi Manjari, she writes in Govinda Leela Amritam. She writes, and no one can challenge him. Actually, our acharyas are more bona fide than even the great sages like Gargacharya, Valmiki, Shandilya, Narada, Vyas, four Kumaras, Lord Shiva, etc. Why? One can say that, oh, whatever which is present within the writings of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, within the writings of the six Goswamis and the other followers of six Goswamis like Narottam, Shyamanand, Srinivas, Krishnadas, Kaviraj, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baldev, etc. and Bhakti Vinod, etc. Whatever which is present in their writings is not to be found within the original books written by Vyasa and other sages. But even if it is not found, first of all, it is found. But even if you accept, even if those who are not accepting the Raganung and Ragatmika Bhakti to be the most highest type of devotion, and who are not accepting Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan, even though they may say all these things, but then they have to realize that in that Krishna Leela, wherein Shiva cannot enter, wherein Narada cannot enter, wherein the four Kumaras cannot enter, wherein Lord Vyasadeva certainly cannot enter, wherein many other Rishi, Munis and sages, they cannot enter, there in Kasturi Manjari can enter, Krishna Daska Viraj can enter. So whatever our Goswamis have written, if something, first of all, everything is corroborated by the Mool Shastra written by Vyasadeva. But if something which is found according to their conception, according to their faulty conception, if something is found which is not present exactly in such an open way in the Mool Shastra written by Vyasadeva, then no problem. We don't have to get license from any other previous Acharya or any other such sage or any other such scholar or any other previous Acharya. Our Acharya are self-sufficient because they are directly present in the Nitya Nikunj Nibhrita Leela. They are present in the eternal, confidential, intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna where no one else can enter. Certainly Lakshmi Devi also cannot enter. Nayam Shriyonga U Nitantaratehe Prasadaha Svaryoshitam Nalinagandarucham Kutonyaha. Now, where does that proposition remains? The Ramanujis and the Madhvites and the other Vaishnava Sampradaya Acharyas and their followers and the Mayavadis, they challenge, the followers of Shankaracharya also sometimes challenge, but more than the followers of Shankaracharya, the followers of other Vaishnava Acharyas, they challenge more the conception of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their associates. And they say, oh, wherein it is found that Unnat Ujjwal Ras is the highest, wherein it is found within the Moola Shastra, within the Shruti and Smriti, Wherein it is found that Shri Krishna of Vrindavan is the highest form of God, Godhood, wherein it is found that Madhurya is the topmost, it is even better than Aishwarya, all these challenges, the only answer is, our Acharyas have no necessity, they are absolutely not in any type of necessity for their being licensed and their being substantiated by other previous Acharyas, even including Vyasadeva. They do not need license from any one of these because they are serving in those confidential pastimes of the Lord wherein these other Acharyas cannot even enter. Even Lakshmi Devi cannot enter, Narayan cannot enter, the associates of Ramachandra cannot enter, Shiva cannot enter, Narad cannot enter, the four Kumaras cannot enter, Vyasadeva cannot enter. So whatever Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing, we do not need any certification for that. This is the adamancy. This is the adamancy, this is the audhatya, this is the impudence of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this impudence will have to be accepted by them who are contradicting us. It has to be accepted by hook or crook, by force or by any other means. Yes. And that is why it is said here that Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Radha Sange Yada Bhati Tada Madana Mohanaha. Radha Sange Yada Bhati Tadamadana Mohanaha. Lord Shri Krishna in Vrindavan, because he is always associated with Srimati Radharani Vrishabhanu Nandini on his left side, she being on his left side and Shri Krishna being on her right side. That is the mutual juxta position of their existence. That is a mutual juxtaposition. Radha is on the left side and Krishna is on the right side of Srimati Radhika. So because Shri Krishna of Vrindavan always associates with Srimati Radhika, and because Shri Krishna of Dwarka and Mathura does not appear side by side or does not exist along with Srimati Radhika, because Radhika is not present in Dwarka Leela and Mathura Leela. And that is why, because only the Krishna of Vrindavan exists along with Srimati Radhika on her side. And that is why, because he exists with Srimati Radhika, he is actually known as Madan Mohan. He cannot even be Madan Mohan if he is without Radhika.
राधा संगे यदा भाति तदा मदन मोहन. इफ ही इज बेरफ्ट ऑफ श्रीमती राधिका देन ही कैन नॉट इवन एंचेंट द क्यूपिड. दैट्स हाउ मच श्री कृष्ण ऑफ वृंदावन ही इज डिपेंडेंट ऑन श्रीमती राधिका. बट दिस फैक्ट विल नॉट बी एक्सेप्टेड बाई दीज अदर संप्रदायज अदर वैष्णव संप्रदायज. दे विल नीड मूल शास्त्र प्रमाण एंड नाउ वी हैव रेफ्यूटेड द होल पॉसिबिलिटी of giving any mool shastra praman. Even if it is, we will not give it for reference. Because we are self-supportive, we are self-independent. We do not need any certification. Krishnadas Kaviraj does not need any certification from Vyasadeva. Radha Sanghe Yada Bhati Tada Madana Mohana. He himself is present as Kasturi Manjari in Krishna Lila. He knows everything. He has seen everything by his eyes. He knows everything that it is because of Srimati Radhika that Krishna becomes Madan Mohan. He has seen everything by his own eyes. What need of certification is there? Lord Shiva is only present for one muhurta in the Rasa Leela. Narada is also present only for one muhurta in the Rasa Leela, according to the stories of Agni Puran and Garg Sanhita. Vyasadeva writes in Agni Puran, Gargacharya writes in Garg Sanhita. Krishna, Rasa Leela pastimes of Krishna, Narada and Shiva are only present for one muhurta, and Kasturi Manjari is present from time without beginning in Krishna Leela. She knows, she has more experience. She knows more of the subtle intricacies. So she is saying here that it is certainly Krishna of Vrindavan. The reason why he appears so enchanting, the reason why he appears so attractive that he himself becomes attracted in the Dwarka pastimes. Yes. Lalit Madhav Natak of Rupa Goswami, once upon a time Dwarkadhish Krishna was wandering in his palace and in the transcendental pillar of his palace made up of touchstones and spatika jewels. He saw his divine personality being reflected and he tried to embrace that person. And he said, alas, who is this person who is attracting me so much? And he didn't even know that it is his own replica. That is how much Shri Krishna is attracting, that he himself becomes attracted by his own form. Kashchamatkarakari aparita kalita purvah kashchamatkarakari. Who is this person who is creating so much amusement, so much astonishment, so much surprise in my mind, so much attraction in my mind that I just want to embrace and kiss this person. Even though he is male, I am male, why I am feeling like this? Shri Krishna himself becomes attracted by his own beauty. But who is the cause of this? Srimati Radhika. Radha Sanghe Yada Bhati Tada Madana Mohana. What to speak of attracting Cupid? His form attracts his own self. What to speak of attracting Karanadakshai Mahavishnu? That's the reason why Karanadakshai Mahavishnu brought all the 9 sons of the Brahmin of Dwarka in causal ocean, in the marginal world. And Krishna and Arjuna had to find where these 9 sons of the Dwarka Brahmana have gone. And they searched throughout the whole universe. Then they came to the causal ocean, Karanadakshai Mahavishnu. They asked, Krishna asked Karanadakshai, why have you taken these 9 sons of Brahmana here? This is the duty of Yamraj. This is not your duty. Karanadakshai answered, just because I want to have your darshan. This is how much Krishna is attractive. He's even attractive for Mahavishnu, for Narayan, for his own self. And this is all due to his association with Radharani. Tada Madana Mohana. Only then, only when he is associating with Radharani, he gets this power of being the attractor of Cupid, Madana Mohan. So this is Rupa Madhuri. This is Rupa Madhuri. This Rupa Madhuri certainly is present in Dwarka and Mathura, but in lesser extent. Not in the same extent as it is present in Vrindavana form. Not in the same extent that it is present in Vraj Vihari form, Shyama Sundar form, Gopinath Radha Vallabh form, Yashoda Ananda Nandanandan form. And that is why Rup Madhuri may be present in Mathura Dwarka, but not in full amount like Vrindavan. So Rup Madhuri, and then fourth is Venu Madhuri, the sweetness of his flute, such flute of Shri Krishna that when Krishna plays the fifth note, resembling just like a sweet cuckoo sound. When Shri Krishna plays fifth note on his flute, what happens? The moving water of the flowing water of Yamuna becomes stable, becomes stagnant. The stagnant water of the kundas, the ponds and lakes found within Vrajmandal, they become rather, they start flowing. The ocean which never surpasses its boundary starts surpassing its boundary. Those trees, who are considered immovable items, jangam, sthavar and jangam, sthavar, vriksha are sthavar, immovable, they become movable. And those animals, birds and beasts who are movable, they rather become transformed into immovable item. They just stand where they are in the same position. And the minds of Brahma, Shiva, including Narayan and Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha, become completely instable by the fifth note of Krishna's flute. This is Venu Madhuri. This Venu Madhuri is not found in Dwarka and Mathura, because Krishna of Dwarka and Mathura does not have flute besides him. So these four Madhuris are found in their full amount only in Vrindavan. That is what Rupa Goswami says. Chaturdha Madhuri stasya vraja eva virajate. Chaturdha Madhuri stasya vraja eva virajate. Certainly only in Vrindavan these four sweetnesses are present. And that is why Garga Sanhita, Gargacharya Mahamuni, the disciple of Vyasadeva, he writes in the Goloka Khanda, very first chapter, between the conversation of Bahulashwa, King Bahulashwa, and Narad Muni. Narad Muni is telling King Bahulashwa of Mithila that Shri Krishna is a Sarva Paripurnatam. Shri Krishna of Vrindavan is Sarva Paripurnatam form. The Sarva Paripurnatam terminology mentioned in Garga Sanhita is the same as the Swayam Bhagavan mentioned in Bhagavatam, and it's the same as Swayam Rupa mentioned in Laghu Bhagavatamritam by Rupa Goswami. Laghu Bhagavatamritam, Rupa Goswami, Swayam Rupa. He calls Krishna of Vrindavan as Swayam Rupa. Vyasadeva in Bhagavatam and Brahma Sanhita, Lord Brahma calls Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan. And Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Puman Yo Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna Swayam Bhagavatah. Swayam Bhagavan in Brahma Sanhita and Swayam Bhagavan in Bhagavatam. Ete Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Garga Sanhita and Brahma Sanhita, Lord Brahma and Bhagavatam Ved Vyas, they call Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. Rupa Goswami calls Krishna of Vrindavan Swayam Rupa in Laghu Bhagavatamritam. And Garga Sanhita, Gargacharya calls him Sarva Paripurnatam Bhagavan. Sarva Paripurnatam. He calls Ram and Narayan to be Paripurna. But he calls Krishna to be Sarva Paripurnatam. And Gargacharya makes clear segregation. He says Ramachandra has 9 rasas out of the 12. But Krishna has all the 12. He is very clear. Now Ramachandra only has 9 rasas. You see, there are 5 primary rasas and 5 and 7 secondary rasas. Panchamukhya and Sapta Gaun. 5 primary and 7 secondary. Total 12 rasas, 12 transcendental rasas found within the personality of Shri Krishna. He is the embodiment of the whole rasa, of all the rasas, of all the aprakrit chinmay ras, of all the transcendental eternal mellows. He is the embodiment, he is the personification of. But Ramachandra only displays 9 out of the 12. Krishna displays all the 12. And Vaikunthanath Narayan, he displays only Shanta and Dasya. Because now one can say, oh, Lakshmi Devi, she is not the wife of Narayana. Is she not serving Narayana in conjugal relationship? No, no. Actually, Lord Shri Rama Devi or Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi Devi just has designation or title of being the wife of Narayana. But she is not in the mood of conjugal love. The mood of conjugal love is not present. Even though she is given the title of being the queen of Lord Narayana, the consort of Lord Narayana, the wife of Lord Narayana, but she is not in the conjugal love. She is also in pure dasya. Pure dasya. Pure mood of servitude. That is why you will never find example of Lakshmi Devi being given for Shringar, conjugal. You will always find example of Lakshmi Devi being given for explaining dasya rati. The mood of servitude. Why? Because she is just consort of Narayan. She does not have the mood of being the consort of Narayan. The conjugal love. That is why conjugal is not present. And no question of Narayan having mother and father in Vaikuntha. Parental is not present. Vatsalya. Sakya. No one can even dare and think of that in Vaikuntha. Gop Kumar wanted to embrace Narayan. But as soon as he went to embrace Narayan, the associates of Narayana, 400 Vishnu Dutas, They stopped him. Hey, you cannot climb onto this throne. What are you doing, you cowherd boy? And Gop Kumar felt very bad. And then he felt dissatisfied. You know the whole story of Brihad Bhagavatamritam. This is the reality. So, what is the contribution of Mahaprabhu's followers and Rupa Goswami? Vishwanath explains.
Bhakti purvai hai shrita tam tu rasam pasyen yadatani tam naumi satatam rupam nama priya janam hare.
The first contribution is, now don't talk about Raganuga and Ragatmika and Madhuri and Aishwarya here. Just forget everything. The first contribution is that Rupa Goswami has established bhakti on the basis of Rasa Shastra. He has established bhakti as Ras. Now one can argue, it is mentioned in the Shastra that Krishna is Rasa personified. So what new thing has Rupa Goswami done by establishing bhakti on Rasa Shastra? So then we are challenging that person who is arguing like this, who is arguing in a nonsensical way. We are challenging that person by saying, we are challenging the opposition, we are refuting the argumentative contention by saying that even though the Taittiriya Upanishad might have stated, what does Taittiriya Upanishad of the Veda states? The Taittiriya Upanishad might have stated, Raso vaisah rasam hyevayam labdhva nandi bhavati ko hyevanyat kah pranyat yadesha akasha anando nasyat esha hyevanandayati. Although Taittiriya Upanishad and Vedas and Lord Vyasadeva in other Puranas and Shastras might have stated many times that Krishna is Rasa Swarupa, he is Rasa Maya, he is himself the Rasa personified. But that is just stating the fundamental. It is not explaining how that is possible. It is not explaining how Krishna can actually be considered the embodiment of all the 12 rasas and how Bhagavad Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti, the devotional service unto the Lord, how can that devotional service be considered full of rasa or transcendental mellow? You see, Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya and all these other acharyas, they considered Bhagavad Bhakti to be very high thing, to be very exalted thing. Now Shankaracharya considers Bhagavad Bhakti only to be sadhan, not to be sadhya. But as we discussed yesterday, he does not put bhakti on an equal level to the jnana sadhan. He considers bhakti to be inferior than jnana sadhan. So according to him, bhakti is inferior both to mukti, the goal, and to the jnana sadhan. Bhakti is inferior to both. But what's the reality? The reality, according to Padma Purana, Lord Vyasadeva is very clear. In those six chapters which are mentioning the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam in Padma Purana, and before the incident of Gokarna and Dundukari takes place, when Narada meets Bhakti Maharani, the personified form of devotional service, Bhakti Maharani in Vrindavan, and he sees that Bhakti Maharani is surrounded by many millions and trillions of maid servants, divine and celestial beauties personified have come to serve Bhakti Maharani's lotus feet. And all the principal holy rivers of Bharatvarsh of India, like Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, are present in their personified forms serving the lotus feet of Bhakti Maharani. And what to speak of the Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati and these holy rivers? All the consorts of all the different demigods, like the consort of Indra, the consort of Varuna, the consort of Chandrama, the consorts of all the different heavenly demigods, they are also present and they are also taking the chance of serving Bhakti Maharani's lotus feet. And what to speak of them? All the Ashtasiddhis, all the 8 types of mystic perfections like Anima, Laghima, Mahima, etc. They have also become transformed into their personal forms, and they are also doing service under the lotus feet of Bhakti Maharani. And what to speak of that? The 5 types of liberation, Sayujya Mukti, Samipya Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, Sarshti Mukti and Salokya Mukti. All the 5 types of liberations, they have also become personified in the forms of goddesses. in the forms of goddesses, they have also become personified and they are also serving the lotus feet of Bhakti Maharani. And when Narada sees the opulence of Bhakti Maharani, and then he sees that on the side of Bhakti Maharani are lying unconscious two old men, Gyan and Vairagya, who are the son of Bhakti Maharani. So then Narada praises Bhakti Maharani by saying, "Oh Bhakti, do not lament over this deteriorating condition of your sons, Gyan and Vairagya. Do not lament." Now this Gyan is not the Gyan Marg, which leads to impersonal liberation. And this Vairagya is not the Shushka Vairagya. The sons of Bhakti Maharani, the two sons, Gyan and Vairagya, are not the same as dry renunciation, Shushka Vairagya, Phalgu Vairagya, and the Gyan Marg. This Gyan is not the same as Gyan Marg. This Vairagya is not the same as dry renunciation. This Vairagya is Yukta Vairagya. Anasaktasya Vishayan, Yatharham Upayunjatah, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. Rupa Goswami explains the definition of Yukta Vairagya in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And what is Shushka Phalgu Vairagya? What is false and dry renunciation? It is Prapanchikataya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha Mumukshubhi Parityago Vairagyam Phalgu Kathyate. This is the definition of Phalgu Vairagya given by Rupa Goswami. So Phalgu Vairagya is not the son of Bhakti Maharani, and the Gyan Marg leading to impersonal liberation, the knowledge of monism, Advaitvad, leading to impersonal liberation, that knowledge, that Gyan Marg is not the same as the son of Bhakti Maharani. This Gyan and this Vairagya who appear as the son of Bhakti Maharani, they are Yukta Vairagya and Sambandh Gyan. They are not Gyan Marg and Shushka Vairagya, Phalgu Vairagya. Because Bhagavatam states, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. Upon the performance, upon the practice of Sadhan Bhakti in an unadulterated way, following the proper process and refraining from items which have to be excluded, refraining from those items which are considered harmful, and properly following the process, if sadhana bhakti is done, then sadhana bhakti begets as result, as primary result, it begets bhava bhakti. But as secondary result, it begets yukta vairagya and sambandh gyan. As her two sons, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah, Janayati begets, Janayati, Prajanan, Janan begets, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Very quickly sadhana bhakti begets vairagya and gyan. Jnanam Chayada Haitukam, Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 3rd chapter, 2nd chapter actually. So, then after that Narada sees this opulence of Bhakti Maharani, what does he say? He says, "Oh Bhakti Maharani, do not lament. All the holy rivers, all the wives of the demigods, all the 8 siddhis personified, all the 8 mystic perfections personified, all the 5 types of liberations personified, they are serving the Lord to say, why are you worrying so much? You are the topmost woman in this creation of the Lord. You are the topmost woman. You are the most highly respected woman. Because all the other women, they are worshipping you. Why are you being so much frustrated, and why are you put into this ocean of lamentation? Do not worry. Why you should not worry? Because Narada says, Muktim dasim dadau tubhyam jnana vairagya kavimau. Because Lord Narayana, knowing your supermost position, Lord Narayana has given Mukti Devi personified, the goddess of liberation personified, as your Charana Sevika Kinkari, as your Charana Sevika Dasi, as that maid servant who is always intently absorbed in serving your lotus feet, in massaging your lotus feet, and drinking the Charanamritam of your lotus feet. After the coronation ceremony takes place, or the bathing ceremony takes place, that Charana Sevika Dasi, that maid servant who always serves your lotus feet, Lord Narayana has made Mukti Devi, the personification form of the goddess of liberation, the personified form of the goddess of liberation, is serving the personified form of devotional service, Bhakti Maharani, as a maid servant. And Lord Narayana has given the personified forms of Jnana and Vairagya as your two sons. So why are you worrying? Sons means they are under your control, and maid servant means also under your control. Because mother is certainly respected by the sons, and mistress is also respected by the maid servant. So Mukti has to respect Bhakti Maharani, and Jnana and Vairagya also have to respect Bhakti Maharani. So Bhakti Maharani's autonomous autocratic position, Sarvabhaum Prabhuta, has automatically been established. And what Shankaracharya says, oh, Mukti is the goal. Bhakti is just a path leading to liberation. Yes, that Mukti, that personified form of the goddess of liberation, which serves the lotus feet of Bhakti Maharani, according to Vyasadeva's statement in Padma Puran, according to Narada's statement in Padma Puran, Shankaracharya says, no, this Mukti is the goal. Jnana is the primary means of attaining, and Bhakti is assisting secondary means. Bhakti is even lower than Jnana Marg, and certainly lower than Mukti. It does not even exist after liberation. But then he again contradicts himself and says, Mukta api lilaya vikraham kritva bhagavantam bhajante. Even the liberated people, they come out of Brahma Jyoti and they start performing devotional service unto Lord Narayana by assuming personal forms as his associates. So he also contradicts himself. He has to accept the truth finally, that bhakti is not just the sadhan, not just the secondary sadhan of mukti, not even the primary sadhan of mukti. Bhakti is actually even higher than mukti. If it was not higher than mukti, then what was the need for Shankaracharya to say that the liberated people also come out of the impersonal liberation and start serving the Lord by assuming personal form? Mukta api lilaya vigraham kritva bhagavantam bhajante. Shankaracharya's statement in Sharirak Mimamsa Bhashya of Vedanta. All contradiction in Mayavad philosophy. But contradiction is there because he cannot resist denying the real truth every now and then. He feels, oh, even Lord Narayana has given me the order of covering up the true reality. But still, at some point, I should make the reality exposed, so that the intelligent people who are reading my books, they will understand what is the reality. Only the foolish will be misguided. Now, there are two types of readers of Shankaracharya books. Those who are intelligent, they will understand. Mukta api lilaya vigraham kritva. That means Shankaracharya accepts bhakti to be to be superior than mukti. But those who are very deluded, their intelligence and minds are actually deluded, and then their knowledge, whose knowledge has been kidnapped by, abducted by illusory potency, external potency, maya. Maya apaharita jnana, asuram bhavam ashritaha. Only those will still, insist, and they will still persist and say that no, mukti is still superior. So Shankaracharya, just to make intelligent candidates, in the intelligent people who are reading his books, who are blessed by the Lord, just in order to make those highly qualified candidates who are blessed by the Lord and who are engaged in reading his books, just to make those people know the reality, he has also written statements like this from every now and then. But then most of the people, even reading those statements, they do not realize the real truth. So the thing is, according to Shankaracharya, bhakti is, generally speaking, is very inferior to mukti and to Jnana Marg both. So he has not actually established the real position of bhakti. Now, if we consider Ramanuj, Madhva, Vishnu Swami and all the other Vaishnava Acharyas, then these other Vaishnava Acharyas, they say that bhakti is certainly the primary goal. No, not the primary goal. Bhakti is certainly the primary means, mukhya sadhan, of liberation, of mukti. Because Ramanuj, Madhva, they think that mukti or liberation is the goal of bhakti. But they do not consider impersonal liberation to be the goal of bhakti like Shankaracharya. They consider the four types of personal liberations to be the goal of bhakti. You know, impersonal is sayujya. But then there are other four also. Total five types of liberation. There are other four liberations, and they are personal liberations like samipya, salokya, sarshti and sarupya. Having the same form as Lord Narayana. Having almost the same opulence as Lord Narayana. Sarshti, having the same form as Lord Narayana, Sami, Sarupya, being very close to Lord Narayana, Samipya, and being in the same planet as Lord Narayana, resides Salokya. These are four personal liberations. But these personal liberations are considered the goal by Ramanujis and Madhvites. Yes. Of bhakti, they consider this to be the goal. And their bhakti is also not Raganuga type of bhakti. That's pure Vidhimarg, full of Aishwarya, which leads to these four types of personal liberations. But what does Bhagavat say? Bhagavat Kapil Maharaj, Kapil Muni says, Salokya Sarshti Samipya Sarupyai Katvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrihananti Vinamat Sevanam Janaha. Even if I personally give to my devotees these four types of liberations, like Salokya Sarshti Samipya, etc., they do not accept it. But the Ramanujan and Madhvites, what to speak of Lord giving them, they are hankering after the four types of personal liberations. And even though it may be considered that after getting liberation, they will perform the service unto Lord Narayan. Because Madhva says that service unto the lotus feet of Lord Narayan is what I mean by liberation. That is his declaration. But then, even though their goal of attaining liberation is to serve Lord Narayana, but they have two desires. They have desire to serve Lord Narayana, and they also have desire. You see, they have actually two reasons for obtaining mukti. One can say that, oh, Madhvacharya and Ramanuja, they want mukti just to serve Lord Narayana. But then they also have another reason for hankering after mukti or liberation. And that reason is, they also want to get rid of atyantik dukh nivritti. All the mundane pains and pleasures, they want to also get rid of that, along with attaining the service of the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. They also want to get rid of the pains and pleasures which are found in the material world. Yeah, so settled personal desire is also present along with serving Lord Narayana. That is why they attain not sukheshwaryottara mukti, but they attain premasevottara mukti. There are two types of muktis. Rupa Goswami is very clear about them in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The mukti that is attained by jnani, normally the jnana margis or the impersonalists, they want only the Brahma Sayujya mukti, merging into the impersonal Brahman effulgence. But there are some jnanis, very few in number, who want not impersonal liberation, but personal liberation. But because they are jnana margis and they are not bhakti margis, they do not want to serve the Lord. Even after attaining Salokya, even after attaining Samipya, even after attaining Sarupya, and even after attaining Sarshti, they do not want to serve Lord Narayana. Because they are Jnana Margi, not Bhakti Margi. And that is why they attain Sarupya, they attain Samipya, they attain Sarshti, they attain Salokya. They attain almost similar form to Lord Narayana. They attain the same planet as Lord Narayana resides. They attain almost similar opulences to Lord Narayana. They attain very close proximity to Lord Narayana, close vicinity to Lord Narayana, nearness to Lord Narayana. But even then they do not get any chance of serving Lord Narayana. And what to speak of serving, they don't get any chance of reciprocating with Lord Narayana, even though they might be present very near to Narayana because of Samipya Mukti. But Narayana never puts even single eye on them. Even for a fragment of a second, he never sees them. And neither are they able to see Narayana, even though they are very close to Narayana. This is Salok. These four types of personal liberations, sometimes hankered after by very few rare jnanis. Few very rare type of jnanis. But because they are jnanis, they don't have any attitude of serving. That's why even after getting that liberation, they are not... Lord Narayana does not reciprocate with them, and they are not even reciprocating with Lord Narayana, what to speak of serving him. So that is Sukheshwaryottara Mukti. Sukheshwaryottara Mukti means that liberation wherein only transcendental happiness of Vaikuntha is experienced, but no opportunity of serving the Lord. That is Sukheshwaryottara. Only Sukha and Aishwarya of Mukti is present, but the opportunity of serving the Lord in a loving way is not present. But the Bhakti Margis, who are following the Vidhi Marg, the devotees, the bhaktas who are following the Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti and Vidhi Marg, full of awe and reverence, like Ramanujis and Madhvites, they attain these four types of personal liberations along with the opportunity of serving Lord Narayana, Prema Sevottara Mukti. But even this Prema Sevottara Mukti has subtle desire for the abnegation, for the termination of material pains and pleasures. And that is why it is not considered Prema Bhakti, it is rather considered Prema Sevottara Mukti. Prema Bhakti means that love for Krishna which is completely devoid of personal liberation from the material world and personal sense enjoyment. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate. Anything personal is rejected in prema bhakti. So, Vaidhi bhakti can at most give rise to prema sevottara mukti. And prema is found within prema sevottara mukti, but it is mixed with the desire of personal liberation from the material world. But the prema which rather arises as the result of raganuk sadhan bhakti is 100% pure prema without any desire for liberation from this material world. And that is why this is the difference. Ramanuji's Madhvaites and other Vaishnava Acharyas, they consider that bhakti is even after attaining mukti we will serve Lord Narayana. But that service to Lord Narayana has not only the motive of serving the Lord Narayana, that has also another motive of completely stopping the material existence. Even to have desire of completely stopping the material existence and even to have the desire of liberating oneself from the material world is after all a personal desire. Swarth Icha. And that is why even though they may have mood of serving Lord Narayana, but still they also have personal desire along with that. And that is why the fruit of their bhakti is not 100% pure prema bhakti. It is prema sevottara mukti. And another thing is, these other Vaishnava Acharyas, according to their conception, before actually bhakti needs some prior eligibility, some prior prerequisite qualification. You cannot enter into bhakti immediately. You need some prior qualification or prerequisite qualification. But this is not accepted by the followers of Mahaprabhu. The followers of Mahaprabhu say there is no qualification needed to enter into bhakti. As soon as one desires to perform bhakti, he is qualified. No other qualification needed. But according to Ramanuja and Madhva, first one has to purify himself by performing nitya naimittik karma, by performing varnashrama dharma duties, by performing different types of austerities, yajnas, penances, as mentioned in the Shastra. And then after performing Nishkam Karma Yoga, one becomes entered to eligible into Navada Bhakti, Sadhan Bhakti. This is not our conception, because this is not based on Shastra. Shastra Bhagavatam says, Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. Only devotion is the cause of devotion. How can we consider Nishkam Karma Yoga to be the cause of devotion? How can we consider any other path as a prerequisite qualification to devotional service? Because devotional service in Bhagavatam has been considered to be independent of any other path. That is why we do not in. Actually, what's the difference in our conception? According to Shankaracharya conception, bhakti is needed to support jnana, to give liberation. According to other Vaishnava Acharyas, bhakti is the ultimate goal. Even after liberation, one has to serve Narayana. But, and bhakti is also the primary means for that liberation, which gives opportunity to serve Lord Narayana. But along with bhakti, as a prerequisite qualification, jnana and karma are needed. Up to some extent, Nishkam Karma Yoga and Jnana Marg are needed. But Rupa Goswami says, Jnana Karma Dhyanamritam. This pure devotional service is completely uncovered by even small fragmental covering of jnana and karma. Jnana karma dhyana vritam anya bilashita shunyam. That is the definition of bhakti Rupa Goswami has given in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the fruit of all the other paths, if those other paths like nishkam karma, sakam karma, ashtang yoga and jnana marg, if all these other paths, they want to give, they want to bestow, if they want to bestow the respective results onto their practitioners, then these paths will have to take help and assistance from bhakti. without assistance from bhakti, they cannot give the results to their practitioners. That's the first difference. Second difference is, all these other paths, whatever fruits and results they can give to their practitioners, bhakti can give the same fruits and results to its practitioner without taking assistance from these other paths. This is the second difference, Vishwanath explains. Third difference is, bhakti, in order to give its own result, prema bhakti, sadhan bhakti, in order to give its own result, prema bhakti, does not need any assistance and support from gyan, marg, nishkam karma, sakam karma and ashtang yoga. And if nishkam karma yoga, sakam karma yoga, ashtang and gyan marg, if they want to give the result of sadhan bhakti, which is prema bhakti, they cannot do it. These are the four differences. Bhakti, the result which is the real result of bhakti is prema bhakti. The real result of sadhan bhakti is prema bhakti. Prema bhakti cannot be given by any other path. Then one can say, oh, if those other paths, they take assistance of sadhan bhakti, then they might be able to give prema bhakti. Not even then. Because Rupa Goswami says that if you want to have prema bhakti, you will have to follow devotional service unmixed by jnana and karma. Jnana karmadhyanavratam. Unmixed by jnana and karma. So you cannot say that jnana and karma might be able to give prema bhakti if they are performed along with sadhan bhakti. No. Then prema bhakti will not be had, will not be attained. Jnana and karma on their own without assistance from bhakti also can never give prema bhakti, the fruit of sadhan bhakti. The fruits of other paths, prema bhakti can give without their assistance. And the fruits of those paths, they are not able to give without taking help from bhakti, sadhan bhakti. These are the four differences. And this is why bhakti is completely independent. But when Ramanujis and Madhvaites say that Varanashrama dharma duties and Nishkam karma yoga and jnana, at least to some extent, are necessary in order to clean the living entity of contamination, and they are necessary as prerequisite qualification in order to enter into sadhan bhakti, then the whole idea becomes distorted. Then we are saying that, oh, jnana and karma are necessary. Bhakti is not self-independent. Bhakti cannot remove the anarthas like kama, krodh, lobh, moh, mad and matsarya, like lust, anger, vice, greed, etc. For removing lust, anger, greed, etc., for removing the mind from contamination, we have to follow nishkam karma yoga and jnana for some time. This is all bogus. Bhakti does not need any other help from any other path. Completely independent. That is why Bhagavatam, Krishna says four times, bhakti is yadricha, yadrichaya. Bhakti is swairita. Bhakti is purna swechhamai. She is fully independent, so much independent that she does not even remain under the control of Shri Krishna. Even though she is internal potency of the Lord. And potency has to remain under the control of the Lord. Lord has given Bhakti Maharani voluntarily independence. Do whatever you like. I will not interfere in your business. So, Bhakti Maharani, her position is very unique. But the same position is not accepted even by other Vaishnava Acharyas. What to speak of Shankaracharya. So that is the first difference between Rupa Goswami's way of presenting Bhakti and the other Vaishnava Acharyas' presentation of Bhakti. And second difference will be told tomorrow. And then third difference, you already know, that the bhakti presented by Ramanuja and Madhva and other acharyas is full of Aishwarya Gyan. Bhakti presented by Rupa Goswami mainly focuses on Raganuga and Ragatmika type of. That's the third difference. But the second difference, first difference, you know, that bhakti is considered to be the supermost item. But the other acharyas don't consider bhakti to be the topmost item. They think that jnana and karma are also needed at least for some time. So, bhakti is completely independent, autocratic and supermost position is established only by Rupa Goswami and the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not by other Vaishnava Acharyas. That's the first difference. Third difference is that this bhakti is full of madhurya and that bhakti is full of Aishwarya jnana. And the second difference will be told tomorrow. So there are three differences. And then we will start relishing the Anya Bilashita Shunyam Shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which defines devotional service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If any questions are there, they may be asked privately. Because We do not have much time. It's getting late. Hare Krishna. And tomorrow's timing is from 5 to 6:30 in the evening. Because 6:30 to 7 is Aarti. And after Aarti, the temple has some special program, Harinam Sankirtan. So we have already asked for the permission and we have been given permission to conduct program from 5 o'clock to 6:30 tomorrow in the evening for 1.5 hours. Hare Krishna.